Now, what's that talking about? See, what that's talking about is I don't get all puffed up and say, well, I've got 85 research books. I've memorized the whole New Testament. Therefore, I can figure all this stuff out by my 5 cents. No. See, we don't put our intellect above manifestations. We don't put our intellect above the Word of God. Everything has to be subject unto the manifestations. And see, what can happen, you can get so smart, you can get 5 senses revelation. You can get 5 senses discerning the spirits. You can get 5 senses, and there's no power in that. It's a counterfeit. Because we've seen in Michigan, I've run into a lot of wonderful believers who were accused of having devil spirits that didn't have devil spirits. They were accused of doing these horrible things. They didn't do these. The people that made those accusations were operating 5 senses discerning the spirits, 5 senses manifestations. And there's no power in that, other than the power of the adversary to maybe destroy people's lives and beat people down. It's like that song they're talking about, you're no good, you're no good. You know, well, that's what they're saying. Well, change the script, like John Paul said. You know, well, this is our script. According as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. That's our standard. It's interesting, according. Whenever you see according as or according to in the Word, that's a standard. Well, one of the places I worked in my somewhat illustrious working career, I worked at a place that made magnets. And they would make a certain magnet a standard. And they would measure it, and they would measure it on this, its magnetic power, and that became the standard. And they would measure other magnets against that standard. And if they weren't below a certain thing, then they had to go back to be remelted. And God's Word is the standard. We measure things according to God's Word, not by anybody's 5 senses revelation. It's by God's Word. Now, if their revelation lines up with the Word, then it's the Word. But if it contradicts the Word, we'll take the Word. Let's go to the next category. Love of God. A couple people have taught on this already. I'm going to hit it at a slightly different angle, where love of God versus bitterness. Have you ever asked yourself why God chose the Holy Spirit as the symbol, or the dove is the Holy Spirit, the symbol of the Holy Spirit. I used to be able to talk good, you know, it was a long over years ago. But, chose the Holy Spirit as the symbol, or chose the dove as the Holy Spirit as the symbol of the Holy Spirit. Boy, I should write it down on a chart or something. Maybe I can get it right that way. But see, the reason the dove is the symbol of the Holy Spirit is because the dove does not have a gallbladder, no bitterness. There's no bitterness in God's love, no bitterness in the Holy Spirit. So if you're getting, if somebody's giving you bitterness, it's not coming from God. That record back in the Gospel of John, who walked in love towards that woman, Jesus Christ or the Pharisees? Yeah, that's a no-brainer. Pretty easy there. Threw a softball up there and you guys hit it out of the park. But Jesus Christ walked in love. The Pharisees, they were bitter. They were using that woman. They would have just as soon seen, they were believing that woman was going to get killed and that Jesus Christ was going to look bad because she got killed and it was going to ruin his teaching. That was their believing. They were motivated out of bitterness. There would have been no power of God in that. It would have been somebody else's power. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 12. Now, bitterness is a part of life. You read in the Gospels where Peter, after he denied the Lord, 6 times or whatever, that he went out and wept bitterly. He was very upset, you know. I would be upset if I did something like that to our Lord and Savior. It would bother me. I'd probably get bitter too. But he didn't stay bitter. Jesus Christ worked with him to the point that on the day of Pentecost, he was up there saying, ye men of Judea, you know, hearken unto my words. But if Jesus Christ hadn't worked with him to get rid of that bitterness and replace it with love, what would he have been doing on the day of Pentecost? He would have been back, you know, fresh fish, you know. Well, he might have helped a few people out that were hungry, but he wouldn't have done God's people much good. But because he got rid of that bitterness and acted out of love, he did God's people a lot of good. Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 15. Looking diligently, lest any man fail or fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. And that word looking diligently is used in 1 Peter 5:2, is also used as oversight or taking the oversight thereof. That word fail is also translated in Romans 3:23, where it's many have sinned and come short of the grace of God. And the word springing up here is very interesting. In the Greek, the word springing up just means like a little plant coming up out of the ground, a little shoot. You ever have bulb flowers? And you see like in the spring, the tulip, you get a little green shoot coming up out of the ground. That's what that word is in the Greek. But in the Aramaic, it's even more interesting. It's the word bring forth a flower. If any of you have ever tried to keep a lawn nice and started to get dandelions in that lawn, what happens? You get this little dandelion comes up. Next thing you know, it's got five flowers on the dandelion. Well, what do those flowers do? They make seeds. It goes to seed. You know, you blow it, the little white seeds go everywhere. Next thing you know, you got 35 dandelions. Each one of those goes to seed, and you got 35 times 35. Next thing you know, where's your grass? You know, it doesn't look too pretty. That's what happens. That's how bitterness can spread. It can spread, you know, through a ministry, through a fellowship. It does no good, you know. And that's why it says we need to look out, you know, and keep that away, you know, looking diligently. And springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Let's look at what Titus says about Titus chapter 1. What Titus says about defiled. Titus chapter 1, verse 15. Unto the pure, all things are pure. You know, if you're walking in the love of God, you can find something good in almost anybody. You can see something good in almost any situation. But unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. And if you're looking for junk, you'll find it. I mean, you examine my life, you'll find stuff that's wrong with me. You examine anybody's life here, you'll find something bad about us. You know, we're all imperfect. The only one that was perfect was Jesus Christ. You know, and he's the only one you can't find any dirt on. But even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works deny him. Being abominable, and that word abominable is disgusting and extremely hateful. Unto every good work, reprobate. And that word reprobate is unwilling to be persuaded, refusing, believing, and obedience. That's where it ends up if you stay bitter. But the other choice is the love of God. Let's go to 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. Actually, you could throw in verse 16 where it talks about how God is love, and verse 8, God is love too, but we'll start in verse 17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness. See, when you're walking in the love of God, and you're not bitter, and you're operating manifestations, and you know who Jesus Christ is, you have boldness before God. You don't have to go to God trembling. You got boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. See, we got the same spiritual package. I told you we had the full thing. This corroborates it. Verse 18, there is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear. Which brings us to our next topic. And it's already been taught twice today, so I'm only going to skim it a little bit. Believing versus fear. Another component of people that walk in the power of God is believing. You have to believe the word. Let's go to Philippians chapter 1. I sure do love teaching the word to you guys. I just love working the Word. I mean, on a typical day, I'll come home, I get out of the office about 5:30, 6 o'clock, get home like 6:30, and, you know, my wife and I will eat dinner and stuff. And by the way, we don't have any kids because we haven't grown up ourselves yet, but we'll come home and, you know, do whatever we need to do. And then about 10 o'clock at night, I like to really start working the Word. And I'll stay up till like 1:30 at night and like to work the Word. I'm just one of those night people. I guess it's the old musician blood in me and stuff, staying up late. But I just love to work the Word a lot. And it's fun to not only work it, but be able to teach it. You know, whether it's one-on-one or one-on-101, you know, it's still good to teach it. But what was the verse? Philippians 1:25. told you guys to turn there and didn't turn there myself. Let's see. Having this confidence... is that the right verse? Yes, it is. Having this confidence, blah, 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 and your furtherance of joy of believing. That's the part I want to get to, the last part of the verse. Joy of believing. There's no joy in fear. When you believe God's word, it brings joy to your life. But when you got fear, fear hath torment. It's heavy. If you do the word out of fear, you get no rewards. If you are motivated out of fear, the best you can ever be for God is lukewarm. You can never be hot for God. But if you're motivated out of believing and love, then you will be hot for God. Or you can be if you want to.